Morning. Today's daf in Chulin is Mem Zayin. We're Mem Vav Amud Beis. We're at the top of the Amudah, Mem Vav Amud Beis. And we started a discussion yesterday's Gemara regarding the lungs. We're going now through Elotrephus. So systematically, we're going through every organ of the animal, not every organ of the animal, but any organ of the animal that renders an animal trepha under certain pathologies. And what we're discussing now is we're trying to give the identifications, definitions of the various pathologies that exist in every one of the organs that would render the animal a trepha. The Mishnah took us all the way back to Daf Mem Beis. The Mishnah there listed 18 various trephas that would affect and inflict an animal and render an animal trepha. And so what we're doing in the Gemara is we're going through each one of the organs that's mentioned in the Mishnah, and we're discussing it with even greater detail. So if you follow the Mishnah, Mem Beis, so we're going now systematically organ by organ. And so we are up to the lungs. We got up to the lungs yesterday. We started the lungs yesterday. Just a quick description of the lungs, as we noted yesterday, in order to really help us understand our Gemaras. So the lungs obviously is a respiratory system. It's the heart of the respiratory. Okay, sorry. It's the using English to describe anatomy. So anyway, but it's the seat of the respiratory system. The air is going to go into the lungs, and the lungs are then going to take the oxygen and pass it to the blood. And oxygenated blood is what gives life to the animal. Same thing with the human as well. But anyway, but the point is that with the lungs. So the lungs, because they are there to in order to collect the air, so the lungs have to be a non-perforated pouch. Once there's a perforation in the lungs, so the lung is going to be rendered a trepha. And what we're going to be discussing in the course of yesterday's daf, today's daf, and tomorrow's daf is various pathologies in the lung that are indicative of the fact that the lung is in fact punctured. Meaning, it all boils down to one simple idea, and that is that a nekev in the lung is in fact going to be a trepha. Now, that nekev in the lung, how do we get to the nekev in the lung? So there are going to be numerous ways in which we're going to get to a nekev in the lung, and that is what we're going to be discussing in the course of yesterday's daf and today's daf as well. Big topic coming up in today's daf, looking forward, we're going to be discussing sirchus, various adhesions. Right? In other words, what makes an animal treif versus not treif are many things. It's our entire barak. But practically, in terms of what we look forward and what we look for nowadays, is in fact the sirchas of the lungs, the adhesions of the lungs. So we're going to be treated in today's Gemara. Today is the daf that's going to be discussing the sirchas of the lungs. So that's coming up in just a little bit from now. So that's something to look forward to. But in the meantime, there are other things also that we look for in terms of various things that may be indicative of a nekev in the lungs, okay? In terms of the composite of the lungs, we're going to be talking about this a little bit later on, but just quickly I'll mention it now. So the lungs are made up of various lobes. There are two main lobes, and then there's a whole series of smaller lobes. The two main lobes are referred to as, first of all, anatomically, they're the caudal lobes, meaning they're the ones that are closer to the tail. These two main lobes are in what in the Gemara is going to refer to as an umma. Although, quite frankly, I don't even think the Gemara is going to use the term itself, but whenever it's being described by the Rishonim, it's called the umma. In other words, from the word aim, they are the mother lobes, if you will. And then on top of that, what you're going to have is you're going to have the cranial lobes. The cranial lobes are a series of lobes that exist on the right and on the left side, obviously above the caudal lobes. When I say above, I mean closer to the head. And there's five, and there's another one as well. So there's five plus one. How do I get to the 5 plus 1? So in the course of today's daf, as we give a better description, so we're going to be discussing. Because these cranial lobes have a general sequence of how they present themselves in the animal, consequently, they have to present themselves in that manner. More of that is coming up later on in today's daf. Okay? With all that stated, let's pick it up where we left off yesterday. So we are now on Mem Vav Amud Beis. And so in Kavila, Megan, Elo, Megan, Pligi, Bar, Rav, Achav, Ravina. We did this. Megan, Rav Yosef, Dam, Rav Yosef. Okay. What we're talking about over here are the seals of the lungs. They're basically, the lungs are situated within two pouches. The first one is a strong one. It's it's reddish in color. And the second one is a clearer one, not as strong. And what we discussed in yesterday's Gemara is that what if there's a hole in one of the two? So if certainly the Gemara noted yesterday, if the stronger reddish pouch is the one that is non-perforated, then the lung for sure is going to be fine. And what if there is a perforation in, let's say, the red strong one, but on the upper layer, on the krum ilah, let's say there was a hole. Is that going to, sorry, There was a hole in the strong krum tasa, but there was no hole in the krum ilah. What would be the case under those circumstances? So the Gemara now had a debate on the issue, but the Gemara concluded, and that's where we left off, the hilchasa megin. So the Gemara says that, in fact, the upper pouch, even though it's not as strong as the lower pouch, nevertheless will serve as a proper protection, layer of protection for the lungs, and the lungs will be, in fact, airtight. And the Gemara says, and I know this based on another halacha. And so what the Gemara now is going to do is reflect on a second halacha, and clearly this halacha that we're going to learn together is predicated on the idea that a puncture in the lower seal, but no puncture in the upper seal is in fact going to be good. How do I know that? Based on the following. Kid to Rav Yosef. So we are continuing where we left off yesterday. It's four lines from the very top of Memvav Amud Beis. I'm Rav Yosef, Hayrei Da'avsha. So let's say now there is a lung and I do hear hissing. Okay, so there's a puncture. I know there's a puncture. I know air is coming out. Now, at this point in time, you would say, okay, game over. Meaning, at this point in time, like, the lungs are no good. But Rav Yosef says, not yet. And here's what we're going to do. So let's say we know exactly where the hissing sound is coming from. Meaning, we can, with our ears, detect exactly where it's coming from. And so, I would also imagine that you can kind of see the hole. But again, we're talking about a little bit of a hiss. We're talking about just the smallest leak. I can hear it. I can't see it. So the Gemara says, so what you do is you put on either a feather or a little bit of spittle. Gadfa or roka or gila or a little bit of straw. And imavatsa trefa, v'ilok shera. And so now, let's say you start to see either the feather or the straw, or, you know, this very light item, it starts now to bubble, or the feather starts lifting up. Okay, good. So in other words, what we just did, we just discovered a leak. And because we discovered a leak, obviously the animal's a trefa. If, let's say, the feather is not actually coming up, let's say the spit is not bubbling, so now the animal's kosher. Now, interesting, it's hissing, and the animal's kosher. Well, why should that be? So it must be that the hissing, there is a leak. But what the leak is doing is that it's going from the lung, going through the inner seal, where the leak is there, and heading out into the outer seal. So in other words, the only thing that's leaking is the air from the inner seal into the outer seal. But the outer seal is still intact, and therefore the lungs are still airtight, and therefore it is in fact going to be a kosher animal. So clearly you see from the assumption that Rav Yosef is making that just because there's a hole in the inner seal does not necessarily mean the animal's in trefa. In fact, just the opposite. He renders the animal to be kosher. Now, continuing in this halach of Rav Yosef, you hear the hissing, but you cannot identify exactly where the hissing is coming from. You know it's coming from somewhere in the lungs, but you don't know where. So what do? So my sinan, mitilchata damaya pshure. So first of all, what you're going to do is you're going to blow up the lungs. Okay, we saw this live and in person just a couple weeks ago, where you take your mouth and you put it right on the trachea and you blow up the lungs. And then what you're going to do is now you're going to put it in warm water. And the Gemara over here notes, specifically, it has to be warm water. Putting it in hot water is not a good idea, because what's going to happen is that it's going to shrivel and it's going to shrink. And if, in fact, there was a hole, it very well may be that the shrinking is going to seal the hole. Don't put in cold water, because what the cold water is going to do is it's going to stiffen it up. So what you're going to do is you're going to put it in warm water. And then you're going to blow it up. So sorry, I presented it out of order. First you put it in the water, and then you blow it up while it's in the water. Now, and now, very simple. If there are bubbles coming out now from the water, so now you know that not only is it hissing, but it's also leaking. If, however, there's no bubbles coming out, so it's hissing, but it's not leaking. And once again,
no, you're not going to see the bubbles because the top layer is...
Because it's not leaking. Because it's not leaking. In other words, there's a hissing, but there's no leaking. So the Gemara says, so therefore it would be good. Tasa inkev ila lo inkev. And so the Gemara now explains over here what exactly happened. What happened was is that there was a hole in the lower seal. There was no hole in the upper seal. And as far as the air that you're hearing, the leaking, the hissing that you're hearing, that's just simply the air penetrating, going from the lower seal up into the upper seal. And the Gemara says, under those circumstances, you are good. You're going to be fine. And ad kan, and that takes us now to the end of leak detection. Right? You get that here in the third parak of Chulin when discussing the lungs. Continuing now, the Gemara now is going to go over a series of halachas that that affects and applies to the lungs. Gufa, we're going to go over many halachas that are said over in the name of Rava. Halacha number one, Hirea de Iglade ki adina sumka akshera. Let's say the lung is peeled but still red. So if the lung is peeled but it's still red in color, so what is it? Ki adina sumka. Okay? It still has a very reddish appearance, so you're going to be good because it is still going to be, in fact, covered by that second layer, that second seal, which, in fact, is going to keep the lungs there tight, and then you're going to be fine. Halacha number two of Rava, Amar Rava Reyeshe, Ha'adima Miksasa Kshera, Kula Trefa. Let's say now the lungs have not a pinkish color, but a reddish color. So the Gemara says that is pathological, but not always. So Ha'adima Miksasa Kshera, if, in fact, only some of it is red in coloration, so that is something which is certainly a condition, but not a trefa, and the animal is assumed to going to be able to recover. However, if it is reddish in its entirety, so trefa, it's not going to be good. Amalei Ravina l'Rava miksasa maitama dahadra barye kula nami hadra barye. So Ravina says to Rava, I don't understand. In other words, if we're assuming that partial redness of the lungs is going to in fact heal, so why don't we say the same thing regarding its entirety? Milo Tanya, the Gemara says, now let's consider what we know regarding another area of halacha. And this always gets to the tricky part of this perek. And sometimes the Gemara is going to make comparisons between one pathology and another, even though, as we're going to see in just a moment, we're not even comparing, forget not comparing organs, the correct organs one to another, we're not even comparing animals one to another, meaning we're comparing different animals one to another. So sometimes upon comparison, the Gemara is very comfortable making these types of comparisons, and then other times the Gemara is going to say, you can't compare one organ to another. So when is the Gemara okay with these comparisons, when not? It's really unclear. Meaning I basically have to work with is the Gemara, but you'll see though, sometimes the comparisons are made and sometimes they're not, and I don't yet have a good way of knowing when the Gemara is going to be making these comparisons. Here the Gemara is going to be comparing the lungs now to shratzim. Now here's the halacha as we know as relates to shratzim. Some shratzim, most shratzim I'll say, they're going to bruise, but they're going to heal and they're going to recover. Other shratzim, notably the shmona shratzim, the eight shratzim, which parenthetically, I'm sure the ideas are linked, but what the linkage is, I don't know. But there are other shratzim, however, that when they bruise, so they do not heal, meaning the bruise remains a permanent bruise. And so the Gemara now is going to be discussing the halachas of bruising shratzim on Shabbos. And the halacha is very simple. If you make a chabura on Shabbos, if you make a wound on Shabbos, certainly if blood is leaving the animal, or a person for that matter, so that is a malacha on Shabbos. That's one of the malachas on Shabbos. Probably a tolada, probably a subcategory of shechita. Okay, I know that part's a little bit strange because, in other words, if you're bruising somebody, you're not killing the person. But okay, but in other words, but removal of blood is taking life force away, like shechita. But if you're bruising, but the blood isn't leaving, and it's going to heal, so it's not going to be a malacha on Shabbos. Unless, as we're going to about to learn in just a moment, unless it doesn't heal. Unless the bruise is a permanent bruise. And so the Gemara now describes the following. Milo Tanya, have we not learned in the Brisa, Sharshkatim Ramasim, Achiyetse Mehem Dam, that when is one going to be liable for violating Shabbos? Only when bruising an animal, specifically Shkatim Ramasim, animals that crawl low to the ground, and blood has been drawn, meaning you've actually punctured the animal and blood has been drawn. But if all you did is just simply hit the animal and cause a bruise on the animal, so that is not going to be a malacha. Even though there's blood under the skin. Yeah, correct. But in other words, but it's going to heal.
It didn't
break, and it's going to heal, and therefore it's not a malacha. And what the Gemara is bothered by right now is that you see the general bruising heals. That's the entire point the Gemara is making. And again, I know it's a funny place to go to. We're talking about the bruising of the lungs, and we're moving over to the bruising of the shkatzim v'ramasim. Okay, again, The Gemara seems to be okay with the comparison in general, but the Gemara is bothered, however, because v'chitem l'shmona shvatzim midamin la detanya. Now the Gemara says, now that's not true by all bruising. If one were to bruise any one of the shmona shvatzim, so that bruise does not heal, and therefore it is going to be a violation of Shabbos. So nitzar hadam afa pi shelo yatsa, that when it comes to the shmona shvatzim, as long as the blood has now the blood, nitzra hadam, as long as the blood has now come and localized into one place, meaning it bruised, even though it didn't puncture and it didn't leave, nevertheless, one would be in violation of Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Yahachi afilo miksas anami. So the Gemara says, okay, so pick your sherets. So in other words, if you're going to compare it to a regular sheretz, meaning not the shmona shvatzim, all bruising is going to heal. So if I have a lung that's quote-unquote bruised, so it's going to heal, and that doesn't matter whether some of it's bruised or all of it's bruised, it's all going to heal. And if we're going to be comparing it to the shmona shvatzim, so there no bruising is going to heal. So therefore, even if I have some of the lung which is bruised, so nevertheless, it should be a problem. Ela loshna. So the Gemara therefore says that because of this comparison, so therefore it does not matter where is some of it's bruised or all of it's bruised, it's all going to be the same. And therefore what? It says Rashi, Ela Loshna, de Ben Kula, Ben Miksasa, Kshera. Kedar Melakam, and Adu Makshera, Midrab Nasan. In fact, we're going to be learning toward the end of today's daf that if the lung is red in color, it in fact is going to be kosher. Good. No, just the opposite. The Gemara says the comparison is a good comparison. What we learn from the Shmona Shvatzim is that all bruising does in fact heal. The Gemara was happy with the comparison. And because of the Kasha, the Gemara therefore went back and said, Loshna, therefore it's not going to make a difference whether some of it or all of it's bruised. The Gemara liked the comparison. A lung where some of it now is dried up and dehydrated, so it's going to be a trefa. V'kama, amra papi mishmei derava kadei shetifrach b'tziparin. So when we say dry, we don't mean how much, meaning geographically, meaning how much of the lung is dry, but we're asking how much is dehydrated, meaning at what point in time is it so dry that now we have a dried lung. So the Gemara says, k'shetifrach b'tziparin. The lung is so dry that when you rub your fingernail along of it, it starts to crumble. Now, Kemanka Rabbi Yossi ben Amishulam Detanya, the Gemara says now, this goes in accordance with another opinion that also is looking at a measurement of dryness, notably by the Bechor. A firstborn animal is a carbon, as we've discussed already numerous times throughout Shas, and therefore it must be given to a Kohen and offered on the Mizbech. However, without the base of Mikdash, so what we're doing is we're waiting for it to become blemished. And then, and only then, can it be consumed. What are mumim? So, great question, but not for now. When we get to Masechta Bechoros, we're going to be discussing them in great detail. But one of the mumim is where the earlobe becomes dry. The earlobe becomes so dry that, and now this is a brisa that discusses that very question. Detanya ezu yafsha she'im tinake ve'eno motzia tipas dam. So the Tanakhama says that when we're looking for measurements of dryness, what we're looking for is basically you can perforate, you can puncture the ear, and no blood is going to come out. That's the degree of dryness where now it's a mum, and now the animal can be consumed. And Rabbi Yosef ben Amishulam Amar Yavsha Kadei Shetei Nefreches B'Tziporin. And Rabbi Yosef ben Amishulam says, no, when it comes to the ear, and we're looking for a shear of dryness when coming to the ear, so we mean to say that when you rub your fingernail, and it starts to crumble. And so what the Gemara now is, it's almost like a question, in which the Gemara is basically wondering, does that mean now that when we give our shear here by the lungs in terms of dryness, does that mean that it's only going like the position of Rav Yossi ben Meshulam? Meaning it's a machlokas over there in the Mishnah Bechoros, and Rav Yossi ben Meshulam is a Dasi Achid, and does the Tanakhama necessarily disagree with him? To which the Gemara says, no, not really. Afilu Tamar Rabbanan. Gabi ozen bebechor de kashali be zika lo hajabarya. Avarea de lo kashali be avira hajabarya. And here the Gemara says, not a fair comparison. You're comparing an ear, which is an external organ. It's out there in the air. And so therefore, what would render it dry is going to be a different benchmark than an internal organ like the lung. So even though by the lung, when we are identifying and defining what is going to be the shear of yavshas, of dryness when it comes to the lung. So it could be that the tanayim by the bechor in the ear, even though they're arguing, but that's by, they're arguing by something which is external and exposed to the air all the time. And so therefore the shear of dryness over there is going to be different than that of the internal lung. And so the Gemara says, the machlokas by the bechor will not necessarily reflect on our discussion of the dryness of a lung. And here, by the way, just again, wonderful comparison, a wonderful example where the Gemara attempts to make a comparison between one organ and another, and the Gemara says they're not comparable. So again, it goes back to what I said. Sometimes the Gemara is fine with comparisons, sometimes not, and you know, just gotta follow along. Amar Rav, here comes another. Doesn't say, the Gemara doesn't say. So I would guess, but I wouldn't know. Amar Rav, Hayrei Dekai Megilda Gildei, Uchme Uchme, Chazusa Chazusa Kshera. Another halacha by Rav, and that is, what if the lungs now start to discolor? Now, we have numerous descriptions over here. Gildei Gildei Rashi says, Klipos Klipos, basically it gets scaly, or Uchme Uchme, so or they get black, or Chazusa Chazusa. Various other colors, says Rashi, givanim, givanim. Rashi, using the word givanim, is referring to just multicolored. V'davka hanach givanim delo mitshufa behu kagon aduma yiroka v'hanach delakaman ba'alachos. Now Rashi notes, there will be some colors of the lungs which are pathological in nature and are not going to be good. So Rashi notes over here that you have to take this Gemara in respect to the Gemara that we're going to be learning later on regarding other colors that are not acceptable. But these colors are acceptable. So black lungs are acceptable. So the animal can continue his smoking habit. Amar Amema, sorry. Amar Amema Mishmei Derava in Mekifin Babui. And here's what you cannot do. You cannot put... you can't take blisters and you can't put them one next to another. Now, in order to understand this halacha, I know it's just a one line of Gemara, but there's a lot of background that we need to know in order to appreciate what the Gemara is saying over here in the name of Rava, that you cannot take blisters and put them one right next to another. To appreciate this, let's take a look at Rashi. And Rashi writes as follows, Emekifin Babue. First of all, the word Makifin means to put them side by side, right? Ein tormin ela min amukaf. Right, the word mukaf means when they are proximate to one another, they're side by side. And basically what we're talking about is some sort of test where we're taking blisters and we're moving them side by side, one to another. But in order to understand this, let's take a look at Rashi together, where Rashi gives us the basic information that we need to know. Two wide lines down in Rashi, we begin with reading Rashi. Emekif and Bebui, Bua Shenikva, Bereya, Hecha Delo, Memash Mashayada, Detavcha, Deleka, Lemitle, Betavcha, when it comes to a blister, so what is the blister in of itself is not a problem. But as I pointed out in the beginning of Shir today, when it comes to the lung, it all basically results in one issue. Was there a perforation? Was there no perforation? So here's what we have now. We're looking at a blister, not only that, but the blister in fact popped. When did the blister pop? Well, of course, we only discovered it after Shechita, so we have now a legitimate question that we can ask. Did the blister pop before or after Shechita? That's an important question. If it popped before Shechita, so that means to say that the animal was a trefa. If it popped after Shechita, so then we're fine. But we don't know. So what do we do? So the Gemara is telling you, here's what you don't do. Here's a way where we are not going to, this will not be a successful test. Ein mivin bua cheres lahakif, so here's what we're not going to do. What we're not going to do is we're not going to take another blister, even if it's of the same lung of the same animal. It's unpopped, and let's do the following. Let's pop it right now, meaning it's obviously after the shechita. So let's pop this blister right now. So now what we have in front of us is a clear blister that was popped post-shechita. And so now let's take this blister, which we know is popped post-shechita. Let's compare it to the other blister, where we don't know whether it opened before or after shechita. And now let's put them side by side. And isn't the side-by-side test going to show us that if the post-popped blister is exactly the same as the blister that we don't know, so then doesn't that indicative of the fact that this one also just recently popped? And can't we argue that if it popped previously, it would go through some sort of change? That is the argument. And the Gemara is rejecting that argument. And the Gemara is saying, no, you can't do that. Now, even though in other areas of halacha, we could do such a test. we are in fact allowed to perform such a test. In fact, Rashi quotes the comment beperket makifen berea dahani mila rea val kevin shenasas babua ein maranika barsha asu li shtanos kosha. Even though there will be some tests that we're going to be learning a couple days from now that are totally acceptable, but that's because we assume they undergo some sort of change. Blisters, not necessarily. V'shem amar achra hayalov v'nishtana lashon mikifin mikarvin zulazu. Rashi tells you what I already told you, but I got it from Rashi. The word makifin means to put them one right next to another. Kamo ein makifin shtei chavios demeseches beitza. He quoted another Gemara regarding the word hakafa. But anyway, so with blisters, so you what you get from a side-by-side comparison is a false negative. Meaning, even though it seems now from the comparison that the animal is not a trefa, but that doesn't mean anything because blisters do not necessarily undergo any kind of physical change. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar Rava. And here we go now with Sircha discussion. So as I mentioned in the beginning of Shir today, the Sircha discussion is in today's daf, and it's found right here on the bottom of Mem Vav Amud Beis as we head now to the top of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay, for those of you who were at the presentation the other week, so we actually saw a Sircha live and in person. So what are Sircha? Sirchas are adhesions. So basically what the lung, when the lung is in the cavity of the chest, so what we expected is that the lung is going to be the walls of the lung, the external walls of the lung are going to be nice and smooth, and there is not going to be any kind of strings connecting, organic strings, connecting the lungs to nothing, not to the cavity, not to the interior cavity of the chest, not to one lobe to another lobe. In other words, there should be no sirchas, there should be no strings adhesions. What is the problem if we find a sircha? So in just a moment, I'm going to read Rashi, and Rashi is going to tell us exactly what the issue is regarding sirchas, and if time allows, we'll also go through Tosfos as well. Although, as you can see, Tosfos over here is really long. I'll highlight Tosfos. I won't read it inside. Anyway, but the Tosfos starts on the on Mem Vav Amud Beis, but goes well into Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. But anyway, so this is the story of sirchas, and in order to understand the story of sirchas, so once again, let's just become a little bit more familiar with our lungs and the anatomy of a lung. When we're talking about a lung, so as we already discussed, there are two main lobes. There are the mother lobes, if you will, and in fact, that's the name that's given to them. They are called the umma. The mother lobes, are the caudal lobes, which are the main lobes of the animal. Then, on top of each one of the caudal lobes, you'll have the cranial lobes. Now, in terms of the cranial lobes, so what we have are three on the right and two on the left. We're going to be discussing that in more detail. And then on top of that, there's also another lobe, which is coming up in just a couple minutes from now in the Gemara, and that is there's one intermediate lobe. It's called the Anunisa Devarda, right? It looks like a rose petal, and so therefore it's called the petal lobe, and that exists on the underside of the animal, and we'll discuss more about that also in just a moment. Anyway, what the Gemara now is going to teach us is the following. Generally speaking, sirchas are no good. With one notable exception, which the Gemara is about to identify for us, where a sircha would be okay. Let's see all this inside in the Gemara. Amar Amemar Mishmed Rav Emekifam Baboi. I'm sorry, we read that, we explained that, let's go on. Amar Rava, three lines on the bottom. Hanitarti uni de sirchen, lahadade leisluhu bedika. Now, if we have unas are the cranial lobes, right? If you see it with a mem, that's the caudal lobes, that's the mother lobes, that's the umma. From the word aim. The word una with a nun is the cranial lobes, probably coming from the word uno in Aramaic, which means ear, right? And not to try to confuse you, but the ear lobes. Okay, but we're talking about the lungs. So I'll try not to confuse you. So anyway, so those are the unas, the cranial lobes. So, now, if there is a sircha, an adhesion, so that connects one to another. So leislahu bedika, which means there is no way of examination. So velo amarin ella shelo kesidron, but that's only if it's not in sequence. Ava kesidron hainu rebisai. But if it's in sequence, so the Gemara says that's not a problem. What did the Gemara just mean by all that? Rashi explains. Rashi says basically what happens is as follows: is that in the event that the lung actually perforated. So what's going to happen now is that you're going to have, I'm not giving the science, I'm giving the Rashi. What you're going to have now is you're going to have a little bit of mucus coming through that hole and basically plugging up the hole. And what's going to happen with that mucus is going to not only plug up the hole, but probably then form some sort of string connecting this to either the interior cavity wall or to another lobe of the lung. What the Gemara is telling us is the following. If, let's say, I do have a sircha connecting this lobe to another lobe, if it's, let's say, the one lobe right next to it, so in other words, on the right side, you have three cranial lobes, 1, 2, and 3. If, let's say, an adhesion were to connect 1 to 2, or 2 to 3, so under those circumstances, the Gemara says that's fine. I'm going to read the Rashi in just a moment. If, however, it is connecting 1 to 3, so that's not going to be okay, because of the fact that it's not in sequence, there is going to be a natural tension between them, and what's going to probably happen is that these adhesions are going to snap, revealing the hole that was already made. Now, Rashi, well, first I'll read the Rashi inside, and then we'll discuss the Rashi a little bit more. Rashi, Leislu Bedika, Rashi is where the lines are wide, about 7 lines down from there. Rashi, Divra Maskel Leislu Bedikusa, Shezir Chazu Makmas Nekev Hiba, Shemitoch Sha'arei Ashawavas Kol Mine Mashke, V'hamashke nase av besocho, kamin glira. So like I described, but I got it from Rashi. So what happens is that there is a hole in the lung, and there is some sort of mucus that develops inside the lung. V'yotze ma'ama derech hanekev. So now what's going to happen is that mucus is going to come out through the hole from the inside to the outside. Nakva v'nase krum. And then what's going to happen is it's going to harden and congeal, and it's going to serve as a seal. Kach metzav b'tzase b'tshuvas ha'gaonim. Rashi says this is not an original explanation of how sircha is formed. Rashi says, I got this from the Gaonim. V'alfa pishu sose manekev v'ein motzi ruach. Now, even though what just happened is that you have an organic seal to the hole, ha'amar in krum sha'ala machmas makeh bereya ein krum sha'sofa lisaser. But as we learned just a couple of days ago in the daf, back on Memhei, and we're repeating ourselves right now again, a seal is not going to be a permanent seal. However, continue on to the next Rashi, that shelo kesidron kagon shtayim achitzonis nidvaku b'sircha mima'al le'emsais o mitachtaha. In other words, if 1 and 3 were connected. However, if 1 is connected to 2 or 2 is connected to 3, Rashi goes on to say, that's fine. Hainu ribisaihu. Rashi zu migina alzu v'hajir barye. Shebitok sheshokh v'zu alzu v'inu misparkos v'akrum holech v'chazek. So Rashi says that what happens when the adhesion is between 1 to 2 or 2 to 3 is that what happens is that because it's natural for 1 to be stuck to 2 and 2 to be stuck to 3, so what ends up happening is that the seal only gets stronger and therefore it does in fact fortify the animal. What makes Rashi so interesting? What makes Rashi so interesting is that Rashi is telling us that the formation of a sircha is because there was, in fact, a hole. And what happened now is that there's a little bit of leakage from the inside of the lung to the outside. That leakage actually forms a seal. And Rashi says, under certain circumstances, as the Gemara just taught us, the animal would, in fact, be fine. What just happened, according to Rashi, it's fascinating, is that you had an animal that was a trefa, and then because of a good seal, so then untrefas. Okay, not the best English, but you get the point. We reverse course on a trefa. Now, the general premise of the entire parak over here is that a trefa is irreversible. Once an animal's a trefa, whatever you do to heal the situation is not good. And meanwhile, what we just learned together in Rashi is, under this very limited circumstance, it would be okay. And how exactly does that work? And that's what makes Rashi really interesting. Right. Rashi, that's absolutely correct. Rashi noted earlier that sometimes when you have natural connections between organs, so that would in fact perform a seal one to another. Okay, fair. It's a fair observation. Okay, I'll say it outside. Obviously, we're not going to say it inside. We're really running out of time real quickly. And that is Tosfos. Tosfos says over here that Rashi's understanding of sirchas is really just the opposite. Meaning Rashi says that a sircha is all starting with a hole. Every time you have a sircha, says Rashi, it started with a hole, and what the body wanted to do was plug up the hole. Tosfos says, no, that is not where sircha begins. A sircha actually begins with various adhesions that are coming from the outside of the lungs, adhesion to the outside of the lung, and attaching itself to the lung, to either another lobe, or to the interior of the cavity. What's the problem with sircha, says Tosfos? Well, what happens is that if the adhesion is strong enough, and if it were to snap, so then what it might end up doing is creating a hole. So unlike Rashi, where Rashi says a sircha always is a sign that there was a hole, Tosfos says no. A sircha means that we're concerned that a hole will develop, but that doesn't mean that there was in fact a hole there.
But that doesn't mean that, according to this interpretation, the animal can only treifa because...
Right. It works out better for Tosfos, because unlike Rashi, where Rashi has to somehow explain where the animal had a hole, but it plugged itself successfully, for Tosfos, you never have to arrive at that conclusion. So the concern is that it's going to break, according to Tosfos.
But still,
I understand. But okay, good. Okay. Anyway, like I said, just a not even a summary of Tosfos. Just quickly, just referencing. It's still the animal's a treifa, but again, because of the concern that it's going to break. Okay, aval kisidra nehainu ribisan. No. It's still gonna be a sircha, and a sircha is still gonna be a problem. It's just that what is the sircha indicative of? Okay, anyway. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara Amar Rava. I don't know. Amar Rava. We're on the very top of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, otherwise known as today's daf. Okay, if let's say you have two blisters and the two blisters are one next to another. Now, as we learned earlier, one blister in of itself is not a problem. Meaning, as long as a blister is unopened. An unopened blister on the lung is fine, it's perfectly fine. And only when the blister is opened, and we don't know when it opened, so we suggested earlier maybe there could be a test, although the Gemara rejected it out of hand. We're just now describing a single blister, well, not yet. Well, I'm just giving the background. A single blister, but it's unopened. The Gemara says that's fine. However, if let's say there are two blisters of the lung that are proximate to one another, so you have not discovered a hole, but you've discovered not one, but two blisters that are next to one another. The Gemara says this is pathological in nature, and therefore the animal is in fact a treifa. There is a hole there, and here there is no possibility of a leak detection. The two holes next to one another is just simply too much evidence against the animal. And the animal is in fact going to be treifa. Now, chada umischaze kitarte. Maisina silva uvazina lai shafchan lahadadi chadahi uksher v'ilo tarte ninova treifa. Now, let's say it's not clear whether or not it's one blister or two blisters. Basically, it seems like one pouch, but upon closer review, there does seem to be some sort of fold in between. And so now I'm not clear whether this is one or two. Now that makes all the difference in terms of the animal's status. If it's one blister, it's kosher. If it's two blisters, it's a treifa. So what do? So we take a thorn or anything sharp, we just simply puncture it on one side. If now it fully discharges on both, what seems to be on both pockets, so that really now is indicative of the fact that it was one blister, and therefore it's going to be fine. If, however, only one side of it discharges and the other side does not discharge, so that means that is, in fact, two blisters. And again, two blisters, says the Gemara, is a pathology. It's a treifa. And here the Gemara now tells us about the five lobes. Again, we're talking about the cranial lobes over here. We're not talking about the caudal lobes. Right? The word in the Gemara that's used is an una, and there are five of them. Now, if you, what you do is as follows. The general position after you shech an animal is basically you hang it from its hind legs where it's going to be facing you. So it's facing you, but it's upside down. So in that orientation, here's what you should expect to find. So now you're going to find, you should expect to find there are going to be three of the cranial lobes on the right side, two cranial lobes on the left side, chaser or yasir or chalif, treifa. Now, if you do not find this configuration, if there is any other configuration other than three cranial lobes on the right and two cranial lobes on the left, the animal is a trepha. And the reason why, presumably, you would know much better than me, and he probably would know better than the two of us. But the so the hahu yaseira, so the asala kama de maremar, and the Gemara now describes how there was in fact an animal that had an additional cranial lobe, and they brought it to maremar. Havi yasev rav acha bava. Now there was the scene is a great scene, where the Maremar was inside his house, and Maremar was going to be the posek. The butcher was coming in with what was a atypical lung. It did not have the configuration as we just outlined. It had a different configuration of cranial lobes. And now, he as he shows it to Maremar, Rav Acha is not inside the house, he's outside the house. Rav Acha was expecting the following. The butcher was going to go in, show the lungs to Maremar. Maremar was going to say, of course, this is no good. And now Rav Acha is shocked as what happened. Yosef Rav Acha, Bava Rav Acha was outside at the door of the house. Amalei, my Amalach. And now Rav Acha asked the butcher, what did Maremar tell you? Amalei, Achshar Ini Allah. So the butcher says, he says it's fine. totally fine. Animal's kosher. We can all go home now. So Amalei, so Rav Acha says, do me a big favor. Turn around, go back inside, and ask him a second time. Right? Make sure that he sees the lungs correctly. So Amalei, Hadar Ailei Kamei. Amalei, Zil Em, I'm sorry. So Amalei Zil Emalei Lamandi Yasev Ababa. So now when the butcher goes into the house a second time. Now why did the butcher go into the house a second time? Maremar is, to say the least, not... right. He knows that the butcher did not come in on his own. Because why would the butcher come in on his own? Right? It's kosher. The butcher would now be running home. He knows that he was sent back inside by somebody else. And so Amremar says very casually and very coolly, you tell that person who's sitting by the front door. So, Emalei Lamandi Yasev Abava, Leisil Chasei Kavase de Rava Biyaseris. Now, look, I know Rava's position regarding additional lobes. And I know that Rava's of the opinion that if I do not find the configuration, specifically, three cranial lobes to the right and two cranial lobes to the left, I know his position. And I know that if the animal does not present in that configuration, so he would tarfen the animal. I know all that. I just disagree. It's that simple. So the Gemara says, "V'hayni mila dekaima bedara deune ava beni beni trefa." The Gemara says, but even as Maremar is clearly taking a more lenient position, that's only when the additional lobe is going to be in the side formation of the lungs. However, if that additional lobe presents itself either on the front side of the animal, the ventral side, or on the back side of the animal, on the dorsal side, so then even Maremar is going to say that that is unacceptable, and that animal would in fact be treif. Hahu beni beni dasa lekamid de Rav Ashi. There was a lungs that were presented to Rav Ashi, and there seemed to have been an extra lung, and they showed it to Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi lemitrefe, and Rav Ashi said, okay, no good, right? And so what he thought to do is he thought to make the animal treif. Amalei Rav Huna Mar Bar, I'm sorry. Amalei Rav Huna Mar Bar Avya Kol Hani Chia Birusa Hachi Islahu VeKarilu Tavche Inunusa Devarda. And so Rav Huna says, no, you're mistaken. This is the Inunusa Devarda. That's that extra lobe. If you take a look at the picture, and we're looking at the lungs right in front of us, so you're going to see that on the ventral side of the lungs, you actually have a small little lobe. The Gemara refers to it as the petal lobe. So Vahani Mili Begavai, the Gemara says, but that's only true when it's on the underside. Ava Agaba Afilu Kitarfa Da'asa Trefa. But if you do find an extra lobe on the dorsal side of the lungs, that is something which is atypical, and that is something which is going to tarfen up the animal. And here we get to another really interesting discussion in today's daf. There seems to be, I'm going to choose the words really carefully, there seems to be some sort of mutation that occurred in animals over the years. In that, clearly in the time of the Gemara, you see this, where the Gemara was, some of the Chachamim of the Gemara were not expecting to see such a lobe. And then when presented to one of the Amoraim, he says, oh no, our animal started to develop this extra lobe, and it's the Anunisa Devarda. Rashi, in fact, continues this, and again, I'm going to be very careful about how I say this, but this evolutionary trait where you seem to be having now, quote-unquote, a new lobe growing in the animal. If you take a look at the bottom Rashi over here, Rashi is extensive. I'm not reading the entire Rashi, but Rashi writes, Afilu kitarfadas, a kitanika alei shahadas, umidasever avash lemitrifa shmamina lav urcha. So by virtue of the fact that Rav Acha was actually considering, Rav Ashi was considering tarfening up the animal, it means that at one point in time, this was not a typical development of the lungs of an animal, meaning that the lungs of the animal did not typically have this ventral small lobe. Uvahani didan, Rashi continues, and he says, but our animals, uvahani didan, di isparuba didu, most of our animals have this ventral lobe to it. Imishkechina rea, deleisbahu, behadaihu, deleisba aninusa kshera. So Rashi says, now the question doesn't become, what if the animal has it, but what if the animal does not have it? Because typically our animals, in fact, do have this additional lobe. Now Rashi says, now my opinion is that it's kosher, but Rashi says, but now the question almost becomes reversed. What if the animal does not have something which is normally a good part of the animal? So you just basically see that it sounds very clear from the Gemara that you have a biological feature, an anatomical feature, which Bisman HaGemara presented itself occasionally, but then as time went on, so it no longer was something which was atypical, but if something becomes more typical, and a change in the anatomical development of an animal over the course of time, and then of course the question becomes now, halachically, how do we consider that? Now that it basically norms itself, so then does this something which is expected, and therefore its absence renders it a trefa? And that's what Rashi was dealing with the Anisa Devarda. We'll have to stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up on the top of the next Amud.